Amen. Dads, all the fathers, all the men that hope to be fathers that are practicing it. Come on. As long as you're married. All right? Married men. Let's give our dads a big old hand. Father's Day, come on. You work so hard. We're so proud of you. And you know what, Paula? My goal is to become a church that makes sure there's no single moms. My goal is to raise some dads up and some men who are going to be who God called them to be. And I'm excited to see that happening. Amen? All right. Well, as I was down singing, the Bible declaration. You got your Bibles? I've got mine. Got your Bibles? Let's say it together. This is my Bible. It's the very word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life. Think about this for just a minute before you say it. I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. Lord, be with us today as we dig into your word. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you speak to us, and Lord, you give us direction. I pray we'd have open ears and open hearts. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. I'm not gonna mess around. I'm getting right to what God told me. Are you guys ready for this? Because he was messing me up down there. All right. Today is our now go sermon series when we're talking about heart posture. And our heart posture is so important. How we approach the kingdom of God, how we approach Jesus, what's going on in our heart is so important. I want to tell you something. I think we're at a point in our world where we better have our eyes open. Okay? And I'm going to dig into that a little bit today. And I may offend you, but that's okay. Because I'd rather offend you than allow you to go to hell without knowing the truth. All around our world right now, we're celebrating pride. What does the Bible say? Pride comes before a fall. And I'm not talking about, I love everyone, but we can't co-sign pride. We can't sit here and say, oh, it's okay to have pride in our life. Spiritual pride, the kind of pride that this world's talking about. And it doesn't mean that we don't love people, but we cannot afford to have pride. Pride comes before a fall. That is what sent the devil from heaven down to hell, is pride. And we're living in a world right now where we're hearing right is wrong and wrong is right, and people are saying it's okay. We're falling asleep in this world as things around the world are blowing up. And I think we're at this moment where the enemy has done a very good job lulling us to sleep in this nation. There are Christians who are not living like Christians. There are people that are co-signing wrong as right and right as wrong. And I think we better wake up, guys. What's happened this week with Iran and Israel, I think we better open our eyes and understand where we're at in this very moment. Some people are like, oh, well, this Bible, and see, here's the thing. Our society, you said you'd follow it, but here's what the thing is. Our society has done everything it can to minimize the power of this word. Oh, well, it's so old-fashioned. Like, it doesn't tell me how to live. Do you really want to take that chance? When have we ever thought that we're smarter than God? When have we ever thought that it's okay to not live our life according to this word and ignore what the Bible says? You said you're following it. I'm going to challenge you. Let's follow it to every T and every I and everything God says and line our life up. If we're ready to go and if we're really wanting to now go, we better follow his word. We need to dig in and we need to find out. And if it offends you, that's probably a good thing. Your opinion is not greater than what God's word says. And we live in a world where we think our opinion is more important than what God's word says. Well, I don't think God meant it that way. You better read it for what it is. I just feel like we're at this moment where things, we could be in a different moment. We could be in the end times just like that. I think we actually are. And it's interesting when we dig into our portion of scripture today, because what it all boils down to is this one question. Do you trust God? The heart posture of trusting God. Do you trust God? Because if you trust him, you're going to live like he says. Don't be lulled to sleep thinking that everything is great and life is wonderful and that we're just going to be here forever and the book of Revelation isn't going to happen and we're not going to read about the end times. We're not. Let's get open to what God is speaking to us right now. And this is not about fear. It's about being ready. This is not about sitting here, oh man, like what's going to happen? No, it's being ready. It's having a heart that fully trusts God. If you trust God, you're going to live different. Throughout Scripture, we see that our actions and what comes out of our mouth is a good indication of where a person's heart truly is. Matthew 15, 18 through 19 says this, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. What's coming out of your mouth? And I'm going to need some water because we're going for it today. Yes. As I spit it everywhere. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I'm not going to sit here and let the world's voice be louder than God's voice in your life. That's what's happening in the world that we live in. That's why wrong is right and right is wrong. Because people want to get in and they want, the enemy's ultimate goal is to get you going down a different road. Jesus was very concerned about the posture or condition of our hearts. Jesus emphasized the posture of our hearts because he understands that's the source of our thoughts, our actions, and ultimately our spiritual well-being. A right heart posture characterized by humility, faith, and love aligns us with God's will and allows his grace to work in our lives. Conversely, a hardened or rebellious heart can lead to spiritual blindness and separation from God. And unfortunately, I think our society, there's a lot of spiritual blindness. There's a lot of separation from God, even from people who call themselves Christians. You might go, Pastor Jason, I'm offended. Well, good, because I want to wake you up. I feel like we're not awake. I feel like we've been lulled to sleep in our comfort. And as I'm reading about what's happening and I'm watching what's happening unfold today, you might go, well, I have no idea what's going on. I just don't even want to know the news. Like, I just don't even want to pay attention. You better start paying attention because we're one breath away. Like, don't be asleep. In one moment, I believe we're not far from God, the rapture. I believe that the things we read about in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, I believe we're so close. And in one moment, you know, here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this because the Sadducees and the Pharisees, in fact, let's just go to that scripture because I want you to see this. And I'm going to just cut through this stuff because I want to get down to it. All right, Matthew 16, 1 through 4. And this was Jesus talking about the idea of having a heart that trusts him. And having an idea of now going, you see the contrast between the disciples who had a heart to follow God and the Pharisees and Sadducees who acted religious, who acted like they had everything together, but they were so far from God. Listen to what Jesus said to them. One day the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. What an interesting thing for Jesus to say. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you do not know how to interpret the signs of the times. Friends, as I thought about this down in the front row, I'm like, that's what Jesus was talking about. The signs of the times. Guys, the signs of the times are pointing to the fact that I don't think we have a long time left here. You might, I've heard that in my whole life in church. Like, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Jesus is coming back in 1988. What if that was all meant to lull us to sleep, to be at this point where we think that Jesus is never coming back and we're going to live however we want to live? Keep your eyes open to the signs of the times. And what happened, what Jesus was saying is you don't trust me enough to keep your eyes open. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then Jesus left them and went away. What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? It was Jonah was in a whale for 3 days and came out. Jesus was saying, listen, that's the only sign you need to know that I'm alive and I'm well and that you can trust me. That's already been done for us. We've seen that sign. But friends, I want to tell you this. What are the signs of the times saying? Do you know that Iran is actually Persia in the Bible? So when you start digging in and you start reading in the book of Revelation, which I think every one of you should read, oh, I'm too afraid to read it. I don't care if you're afraid. Pick it up and start reading it. Do it afraid, because you need to know what's happening. Okay? The Bible talks specifically how you know that the signs of the times are coming is when Persia attacks Israel. That's happening right now. Okay? Like, we are closer than we've ever been before. And my question is, do you trust Jesus enough to live your life in a way that lines up with him? Listen, I'm getting serious about this. We have been too comfortable in our nation. And what comfort has led to is apathy. We think we have everything we need. We're comfortable. Our air conditioners are set at 68. We don't want to do anything that's not comfortable. But friends, I'm telling you, and you might go, Pastor, you might be a little crazy. Maybe I am, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Keep your eyes on what's happening overseas. Keep an eye. One of the things that people will say is, and this wasn't even in my sermon, so I'm kind of going a little bit off road, but I feel like it's so important. One of the things people will say is, well, man, not everyone on earth has heard the gospel. What do you think AI is going to do to the spread of the gospel? It's going to spread like wildfire. I don't think we have that much time. There's people right now in our country that are arguing for Palestine. Do you know that conflict goes all the way back to almost Genesis? It's not a new conflict that just came on board. And do you know that that conflict is rooted in the fact that Iran and that group of people are driven by Satan to attack God's very chosen people? That's been that way for so long. You might go, well, why is Israel God's chosen people? And I was sitting there thinking about that. I think Israel is only 10 million people. It's a very small nation. But what I think it tells us is God cares for the underdog. God cares, and he chooses to go for the underdog. And that's why we see it. I don't know the answer of why God chose to say that Israel is his chosen people, but I do know this. All of us were brought into that family once we give our lives to Jesus. So if they attack Israel, they're attacking all of us. Our eyes need to be open, and I'm going to tell you this. We have to fully trust God. We have to fully trust God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus. They were asking Jesus to prove his authority, and that means they didn't trust him. It means that they were going to put Jesus to the test. There's only one time in Scripture that says it's okay to test God, and it's in Malachi, what Paula said. Pastor Paula, you can test God in the area of your finances. That's the only place. Because if you test him in other places, what it's showing is you have unbelief and a lack of faith. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were clear with their tests of Jesus. They did not trust him. They did not believe in him. They had unbelief in their heart. They doubted that Jesus was who he says he was and the authority that Jesus came in. It was a power struggle. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were in a power struggle with Jesus, and they were losing control. Do you realize the world we're living in right now is in a power struggle between the enemy and God? This is the same kind of thing that we've seen throughout Scripture. You have to decide what side you're going to land on and where you put your trust in. I can promise you, as Revelation unfolds, your bank account is not going to matter. And some of you, that's where your trust is at. Maybe in your job, maybe in your house. Listen, what does the Bible say about all of our possessions? It's all going to what? Burn. And here's what I know, because I've done a lot of funerals. You come into this world naked, and you go out of this world naked. You might have a suit on, but that's it. You take none of it with you. And how much time do we spend on the things that don't matter? They knew what Jesus had done. The Pharisees and the Sadducees watched him perform the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but that still didn't change their outlook on who Jesus was and his authority. What did Jesus mean when he called this generation an adulterous generation? Jesus used the term adulterous metaphorically to describe the spiritual unfaithfulness to God. The generation was seeking a miraculous sign as a test. Despite Jesus had already done thousands of miracles, Jesus equates this persistent demand for signs and wonders with the spiritual adultery of the Old Testament, where the Israelites were often depicted as unfaithful to God. Listen, I don't want that to be my name, unfaithful to God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to have a heart that trusts Him. I want to have a heart that says, God, wherever you ask me, I will go. How did the Pharisees have an unfaithful heart? Because they spoke one thing and they did something completely different. I don't want to hear what you have to say speaking wise. I want to see how you live your life. And it's not my job to judge you, but I'm just telling you right now, what comes out of your mouth, how you live your life, is the true sign of what's really going on and who you are. Happy Father's Day. Listen, I feel this urgency. I feel like it's time we have this kind of conversation. When Jesus said, the only sign I will be giving them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, I believe that was something that would reverberate for generations. We've already seen Jesus on the cross for 3 days and dead for 3 days and resurrected. What more do we need to know that we serve alive and well Savior? What other sign do you need to know? The disciples modeled what it looked like to trust God. Were they perfect? No way. Are we perfect? No way. That's not the standard. What the standard is a heart that works to trust God and follow after Him wherever He's going to ask you to go. They weren't sitting there saying, Jesus, you better show us a sign before we're going to trust you. They were saying, Jesus, wherever you ask me to go, I'm going to lace up my boots, I'm going to put my backpack on, and we're going to go. We're riding. It's time to go. They were ready. They were ready to go. Their trust in God literally propelled them. And that's the kind of trust that we have to have. A trust that no matter what God asks you to do, what God asks you to give up, the answer is always yes. Don't miss what Jesus is trying to do in your life because you don't fully trust Him. And I want us to get honest right now. I want you to look into your heart and go, God, is there an area? The Lord challenged me just the other day. And He said, you don't trust me in that area. And I go, oh. You're right. Actually, he used somebody else to tell me. See, here's the thing. God doesn't only want 90% of your trust. He wants 100%. He wants every area. Well, but God, what happens if I step out and I give? And can you really do what you say you're going to do? Are you really going to provide for me? Here's the question. The issue is not giving. The problem is you don't believe God can provide for you like He's already promised. It's a poverty mentality where you're like, man, I just got to hold on to it because I don't trust you, God, enough to make sure that my needs are being met. There's a lot of people in this world who think it's their job to meet their own needs. Well, I just need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to be smarter in my finances. How about you just trust God for 5 minutes or for the rest of your life and believe that He's your provider, that He's going to be who He says He's going to be. I want to share with you real quick 4 things we learn about trusting God and having a heart that trusts. First of all, a trusting heart causes our spiritual eyes to be open. The unbelief of the Pharisees and Sadducees caused them to be spiritually blind to why Jesus had come and what He was doing. The Pharisees and Sadducees could easily see what the weather was going to be, but couldn't see God's plan sending Jesus. They were spiritually blind. And listen, they thought they were on the right track. They spent time in God's word. They showed up to the temple. They prayed a whole bunch, but they were so far away from Jesus in their heart. You can be the most religious person in the world and be far away from Jesus. Jesus points out, they could see all of these weather signs, but they completely miss the spiritual signs. Their unbelief and doubt caused them to have spiritual blindness towards Jesus. If you need God to do a miracle in your life, don't ask Him to do it if you don't believe He can. Well, God, I need you to do this, but I don't really expect you to. Let's be honest. There's people that pray those kind of prayers. Or how about this? I've tried everything I could do. I guess all I have left to do is pray. Prayer's not enough. How about we go there first? The spiritual blindness. The Pharisees and Sadducees knew the scripture inside and out. They knew the prophecies. They knew the signs to watch to identify Jesus. They completely missed them because of their spiritual blindness. Some of you in this room, you're sitting in spiritual blindness. You cannot see in front of you what God is trying to do. Trust, a lack of trust, unbelief, a lack of faith causes spiritual blindness. They became so spiritually blind because of their rigid adherence to religious and tradition. It hindered their ability to perceive God's truth or God's will. They focused on the more external practices, things they could control, rather than building genuine faith and spiritual understanding. Point number two, a trusting heart obeys God without needing proof. Hallelujah! God, I need you to show me that you can do this before I'm going to believe that you can. You would never say that out loud, but that's what you're thinking. The religious leaders of the day tried to test Jesus because they needed proof. Jesus, and here's the truth, Jesus could have done 1,000 more miracles and they still would have been in the same spot. Proof would never be enough because they had an untrusting heart. They would not trust him. They chose to partner with an unbelieving heart. There was a heart posture that they had, and it affected every area of their lives. Faith requires us to take the first step. You have to take the first step. Say it with me. I have to take the first step. Here's what we always think. God, I'm not going to move till you take the first step. You'll be waiting for a long time, sweetie. I can't hear from God. I just don't hear him. He already told you what to do, and he's waiting for you to take the first step. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if I take the first step, and I don't know. I can't see. I want to know what the next 500 steps are, and God says, no, I'll give you the next step. You don't have to trust God to see all the steps. Well, I just wish God's plan would unfold in front of me. No, you don't. You wouldn't like it. You'd complain about it. Well, I'll take a little half step. How about we get full in and say, God, whatever step you're asking me to take, I trust you and I'm taking it. I'm taking it. Faith requires you to step out. A heart that doesn't trust Jesus says, Jesus, you have to step out first in my situation, then I will trust you. Too often, we wait to obey until we feel ready or we see a sign. Obedience is very rarely convenient. It requires trusting God's voice more than our vision. A heart posture for trust says, God, I don't need more proof. I just need more of you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his path and seek his will. And when you do, he will show up and show you which path to take. And I kind of added a bunch of words to that because I'm in a hurry. I got to go. Point number three, a trusting heart sacrifices comfort for conviction. Take a picture of that one. Well, I just want to be comfortable. What are my friends going to think if I stand up for the truth? And I'm not telling you to not love them. What I'm telling you to do is stand up for the truth. The world has no problem standing up for their truth. And what we do as Christians is we shy back. Well, I don't want to offend. And what happens if they get mad at me? And what happens if I lose their friendship? They were not your friend to begin with, to begin with. Amen. If they don't want the truth, well, Pastor Jason, what's the truth? Right here. This is the truth. The religious leaders had no problem trusting God when they can control everything. When they could stay in their comfort zone, that's why they love religion, because it was all about what they could do and all about having control. It was all works-based. Everything hinged on what a man-made system of rules were and the control they had. And Jesus came along and he pushed them out of their comfort zone and he took control and he said, come on, let's go. The problem for some of you is you trust God when you have control, but when things go outside of your control, that trust is gone. Well, God, if you do it my way, then I'm okay. Jesus called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees for unfaithfulness, liking it to adultery. Why? Because they wanted control more than they wanted communion. Trust requires surrender, and surrender always involves sacrifice. We don't like to sacrifice. The truth of it is, I'm going to tell you something right now. God may be asking you to sacrifice in your finances. That might mean a couple of Dutch Bros a week. But I promise you, you will make it without them. Your life might even be better. You'll never do what God calls you to do until you sacrifice. Americans do not like that word. But if you look throughout Scripture, and what do you see? You see people who had to sacrifice. Don't forget, the Pharisees and the Sadducees spent their lives studying the Bible and being religious. They thought they were on the right track, but they were so far from God. Control is a massive issue that keeps us away from all that God has for us. Friends, trusting God means you trust him even when things are out of your control. People are like, I can't give up control. You know who you are, and it's making you sick. It's ruining relationships. It's tearing you apart from God because you have to control everything. It's keeping you up at night. The reality of it is we can't control anything, but we serve a God who controls everything. So how about we put our trust in him? Are you guys with me today?
Yeah.
Woo! Some of you are like, I don't know. We'll go get some spices and get a steak afterwards and life will be good. Actually, life will be good if we come along and say, God, I trust you. Trying to control everything is exhausting and will suck the spiritual life out of you. Here's the truth. You'll never step out of your comfort zone or experience all that God has for you if you don't fully trust God. Through every season, every struggle, every up, every down, every valley, every mountaintop, when you feel like it and when you don't. God may call you to sacrifice comfort, pride, timing, or security, but you can trust him with all that you lay down. He sees your sacrifice and he honors it. That's when we're ready to experience. Now go. Point number four, and then I'm done. I got to go quick. A trusting heart practices discipline even when it's difficult. The Pharisees and Sadducees would have thought that they had practiced discipline. They studied the scriptures. They showed up. They gave money. But their hearts were a million miles away. The motivation of discipline for the Pharisees and Sadducees was not to get closer to Jesus, but to earn their salvation and receive praise from men. You cannot earn your salvation. Later on, I think in Matthew, Jesus was so exasperated. He said this to them in Matthew 23, 27 through 28. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Sounds like familiar today. The motivation for practicing discipline in our lives should be to put into practices things that will draw us closer to Jesus. And I want to tell you, the more challenging and difficult life gets, the more you need discipline. The more you need to be on your knees, the more you need to be connected to him. Jesus didn't even entertain the demands of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He didn't stay to convince them. He walked away. Why? Because he was disciplined in his mission. A heart that trusts doesn't chase every distraction. It stays grounded and it digs into the purpose of God. Discipline in your spiritual life is an expression of trust. You keep praying when answers are delayed. You keep serving when it's not recognized. You keep going, not because it's easy, but because you trust God is working. As we wrap up, Jesus didn't stay where there was no faith. He didn't hang around people who didn't trust him. He moved forward. He trusted the Father's plan. So what is holding you back? Are you waiting for a sign? Are you ready to have a heart posture that fully trusts God's word and his direction? Are you ready to go and do what God's called you to do? Go with a heart that trusts him in the silence. Go with the obedience even when the outcome is unclear. Go with the sacrifice even when it costs. Go with the discipline even when you feel tired. Because the heart posture toward God doesn't say prove it. It says, I trust you. Now I'll go.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.